mankind. Man, male and female. But we live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. So, not only do we live by that word, we're victorious. We're overcomers through his word. Amen. Through his word, our every need is met. My point is, naturally, he want to keep you away from this. Because when you are full of this, you become his worst enemy. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, let's jump right in. I welcome you, and I welcome those of you that's watching the live stream as well. And I pray that you are hungry for the word of God as well. Amen. It's the word of God that endures forever. Everything else is going to pass away, but the word of God endures forever. Amen. That pretty suit you just bought is going to pass away. That pretty car you just bought is going to pass away. That nice house you just purchased, it's going to pass away. Amen. And having a nice house, nice car, nice clothes, there's nothing wrong with that. But they are very, very temporary. You hear me? They're very, very temporary. They're all going to pass away. But the word of God endures forever. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we got to know that. We got to know that. Hallelujah. It's the word of God that changes situations and circumstances in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that it will never, ever return to you void. But it will work in our lives as we stand on it, as we receive it by faith, obey it, walk in it. It will work in our lives, and we will bring glory to your name as a result of it. Hallelujah. So I thank you for that. I pray, Father God, that every person under the sound of my voice, ears to hear your word and an open heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen. Praise God, praise God. Now, I'm not going to, I'm still ministering on nuggets from Peter, but were you blessed by the message Sunday morning, this last Sunday morning? Praise the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that God wants us well? Can you imagine, think about it for a moment, can you imagine God the Father and then Jesus seated at his right hand, and they're both looking down on the earth at his church, and they're all sick, pitiful, miserable. And can you see the Son looking over at the Father and saying, smiling and saying, isn't that a beautiful sight? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God wants us well. We bring glory to his name when we are well. Amen. We can do things for God when we are well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I thank God. Listen to this. I thank God for those in the medical field. Yeah, I do. I thank God. I'm not against the medical field because they're trying to get you well too. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They're trying to keep you healthy because God wants you well. Amen. Now, he's a father. He is our father. Why wouldn't he want us well? I'm going to move on, but I just want to say this. Now, I want you to testify by show of hands. How many of you husbands in here want to see your wife sick? I mean, you rejoice, just rejoice when she's sick. I don't see any hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you wives just love it when your husbands are sick? No hands. Glory to God. How many of you parents just love it when your kids are sick? Absolutely not. You want them well. Well, if you want your kids well, if you want your spouse well, why would God, the Father, be any different? Why would he be any different? Amen. Now, we understand we get our own selves in trouble by our behavior sometimes, by the things we do or don't do. But we need to know what God's will is in the matter. Amen. All right. Well, now that was found in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 24. And, of course, we traveled some other places last week. Isaiah 53, Matthew 8, 17, Mark 1, 40 through 42. I'm just telling you that in case you weren't here. James 5, 13 through 15, Exodus 15, verse 26. Amen. I know I went through that rather fast, but if you didn't get it, it's online, so you can go YouTube, Facebook, or the church webpage, and you can find it. Matter of fact, I encourage you to listen to it again. Amen. Now, again, I'm not covering everything in Peter, but I'm just highlighting some things from the book of Peter. Now, chapter 3, let's take and I encourage you to read this entire book, in this entire chapter, this entire book. But I want to drop down to verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, "For he who would love life." Now this, you remember Jesus told Peter to strengthen his brethren, and the Holy Spirit had used him mightily here in the writing of this book. Hallelujah, God's holy word. He says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil." Now, let me stop right there just for a moment, then I'm going to move on. He says, the word of God says, "He who would love life and see good days." Let me tell you something. How many of you have faith for good days? Amen. We know that we deal with challenges. Things come. We have to deal with things. But we can have good days. And one of the things that we have to watch out for is the words that come out of our mouth. Amen. Because we can talk ourselves right into a mess, can't we? He who would love life and see good days, Let him refrain his tongue. James talked about the tongue, but in the book of James, and I won't go there today, but can I tell you something? See this little thing right here? Right here. Look at me. You got one too. Keep that fella under control, because it will get you in a lot of trouble. There's a saying I've heard. You probably heard it too. It's been around a long time. Loose lips sink ships. You Navy people, y'all know what I'm talking about. Loose lips sink ships. It's amazing, and I'll probably minister on it at another time, but I want to say this. It's amazing the amount of damage that can be done because of the words that come from our mouth. Amen. There are people that's no longer on this earth because someone else lied on them. There are people hurt now because of something someone said. You still here? But what we don't realize is we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. If I'm hurting you with my tongue, with my words, I'm only sowing seed that's going to come up and cause me problems one day. Amen. So let's go back. So he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do what? Hallelujah. Let him seek peace and what? Huh? Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now look at verse 12. I love verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Hallelujah. Word of God also tells us, listen, if you're married, raise your hand. If you're married, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. The Word of God tells us that, talking about married people right now, tells us to get along with one another. Don't become bitter with one another. If you got a problem with your husband, if you got a problem with your wife, go ahead and get that thing resolved. Go ahead and get it resolved. Talk about it. Pray together. Get it resolved. Why do I say that? Because the Word of God tells us to have peace with one another. I'm talking to married people now. Have peace with one another so that our prayers are not hindered. Huh? If I'm talking bad about my wife, if I'm being mean and unkind to her, all I'm doing is blocking my own blessings. Yeah, but you just don't understand the woman I married, or you don't understand the man I married. Well, you married him. You married him. So now that you're married, let's live as husband and wife together. So that you live under an open heaven where God's blessings can just flow into your life. Flow into your life. Glory to God. And are you still here? Glory to God. Now, this talks to the husband, but it also applies to the wife. You know, when Word of God says, husbands, don't be bitter against your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want nothing slowing down my prayers. Which leads me then to examine myself. How many of you know we have to examine ourselves? The Bible tells us that many times. Even before we take communion together, what did the Bible tell us to do? Examine yourself. We are to examine ourselves. And if there's anything that's not in order, we need to go ahead and get it right. Get it right. So that we can live under an open heaven. That the blessings of God can flow into our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. I said amen. Don't let bitterness lord in your life. Well, you again, Pastor, you just don't understand this person I live with. Well, I tell you what, you change. You change. If you change, now you're giving God something to work with. How many of you know God works through us? He gave us the awesome, awesome responsibility of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's an awesome responsibility. You know, if I had been God, I don't know if I'd trust y'all with that. That's too serious. I'd probably be looking for another way. But thank God I'm not God, because things be really messed up. But I'm making a point. God Almighty chose to entrust us with this precious gospel to carry it through the world, that people might hear it and be born again, and their whole eternity changed. Now, if God can trust us to preach his word, to tell his people, to tell the lost that they need Jesus. He's entrusted it to us to pray for them. What makes you think he won't use you to change your spouse or to change your child? But Pastor, I've tried that and it's just not working. I've been praying for years and years. Now, you do your part. Can I tell you something? There are grandmothers and granddads already with the Lord. Some of them been there for years, but their prayers are still working here in this earth. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Their prayers are still active in the earth. So we are not to be moved by what we see. We're just to obey God and do our part. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So verse 12 again, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now let me I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. I want you to know that the eyes of the Lord are on you. When you walk with him and you make a decision that you're going to walk with him, you make a decision that you're going to do what's right, that you're going to please him. Psalm 46, you have it? Listen to what it says. Let this comfort you. God is our refuge and strength. You see that? Say, God is my refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Come on, say it again. Make it personal. Say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Say it. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that. Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Hallelujah. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. I wanted to read these verses to you because we're living in that time. And please be praying for those folks in Maui. Many lives lost. They didn't see it coming. It's time now that if you name the name of Jesus, you need to walk it out. You need to live it. Anytime I hear of inclement weather or something going on, I always quote the word of God over me, my property. I quote the word of God, and I refuse to fear. You hear me? I refuse to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says he hadn't given us the spirit of fear. Did you hear what I just said? He has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? All right, I'm back at Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Get that down on the inside. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. He says, I won't fear. I won't fear. Drop down to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We just need to be still and know that he's God. Be still and know that he's God. His eyes are on the righteous. Amen? Turn to the book of Hebrews. Most of you know this by heart, but not everybody do, so we want to turn there. I'll just begin reading the verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You know, one day when I get to heaven with the Lord, I hope he'll let me know every time there was an angel that I entertained and I didn't even know it. Now, there are folks that have testimonies of things that has happened and direction that has been given to them and provisions for them and on and on. And then they'll look around and they can't find the person. They're just almost like they disappear. But there are angels, and I'm deviating a little bit here, but I want you to know this. You can't see them, and even if you do see them, you may not recognize them as angels. But I want you to know that there are angels, holy angels of God, all around. Did you hear me? I said there are holy angels of God all around us. It says, do not forget to entertain strangers. In other words, just be nice. Be a good person. Don't be mean and arrogant, you know, because you may be talking to an angel. Now a word of caution here. Listen to me. Do not, everybody say do not. Do not pray to see angels. Let me say that again. Do not pray and ask God, Lord, show me an angel. If he wants to show you an angel, if an angel appears, that's God's doing. You just leave it alone. And there have been angelic visitations. Many people have had them. Amen. I'm not calling any name, but there are some folks in this church that's come to me and talked to me about things that they've seen. They've seen moves of God here in this church over the years. Glory to God. Why not pray to see an angel? First of all, angels are servants. They're here to serve us. And they are servants of God, sent to serve us, to help us. Amen. The reason I say don't pray to see angels, because there are good angels, and then there are dark forces out there. And the Bible tells us sometime to the devil himself will appear as an angel of light for the purpose of deception. You pray to see one, you may see something, but it may not be of God. Y'all still here? I'm just giving you some wisdom, because people do things sometimes. Lord, show me an angel. Well, if God wants to show you an angel, he will. But in the meantime, we're to walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's how we walk. That's how we live. Glory to God. But if God chooses to show us an angel, praise God. Hallelujah. But let's move on. Verse 3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Ooh. Let me read that one again. Marriage is honorable. Somebody say amen. Among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I let the word of God speak for itself. Hallelujah. Now, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. You may have a lot, or you may have little. The word of God tells us to be content. You ask God, you tell God what you need in faith, and don't fret. For he himself has said, what? I will never leave you, nor forsake you. You see that? So we may boldly say, who is your helper?
The Lord.
Who's your helper?
The Lord.
The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Glory to God. Upstairs, give me verse 5 in the Amplified, please. Amplified Classic. Verse 5, I want to read it to you. Let your character and moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. Now, don't take that out of context. We got to have money, right? We got to have money. But money is never to be your Lord. God says, I'm a jealous God. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And how many of you know, in many people's lives, their money have become their God? Amen. The Bible tells us, well, some folks say, well, you know what the Bible says, money is a sin. No, the Bible never said money is a sin. It never said that. What it does say, the love of it is. The love of money is the root of all evil. When you love it and you put it ahead of God, when you could be helping somebody else, you loving your money. When you could be glorifying God, you loving your money. No, God don't mind you have. We can't live without money. How many of you got up this morning, turn your lights on, they came on? You know why they came on? Because you paid your light bill. How'd you pay your light bill? Money. In some form or another. You might not have handed them cash, but you either wrote them a check or used your card or did some type of transfer, whatever, but money was involved. If you ate this morning, guess what? Money bought that food. So we don't want to get unbalanced here. But now let me go back and read this again. Let your character be, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money. Everybody say love of money.
Love of money.
Including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. I mean, you just crave. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without what? Hallelujah. That's for folks that trust God and not their money. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Glory to God. Verse 6, Amplified. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Thank God, the Lord is our helper. Amen. Amen. Now, let me say something else. And I'm getting ready to close here in just a little bit. Let me say something else. God wants you well. God wants your needs met. God gets no glory out of you being poor, us being poor. Otherwise, why would he tell us to give to the poor? Give to those that have a need. Why would he tell us to do that? If he wanted them poor, he said, leave them alone. I want them poor. Just let them starve. I'm being glorified. No. We're told to help those in need, aren't we?
Amen.
Why? Because God gets no glory out of poverty. Poverty is a result of the curse. Let me say that again. Poverty is a result of the curse. Sickness and disease is a result of the curse. Adam and Eve blew it, and open the doors for all these miseries that the inhabitants of this earth have to deal with. Adam and Eve had everything they needed. Everything they needed. God had provided everything they needed. But you know what God wanted? He wanted fellowship with his creation. And God would come down in the cool of the evening so that he and Adam could fellowship. Because God didn't want Adam's focus to be on all he had around him. He wanted his focus to be on God himself, his provider. He had provided everything Adam needed. So he wanted his focus to be on him. He wanted fellowship with Adam, fellowship with Eve. And that's what he wants with you. That's what he wants with me. He wants fellowship. But yet on the other hand, he says, I'm going to meet your every need. Because I get no glory out of you being sick, poor, beat down. Because if you're fellowshipping with me, I'm going to meet your needs, but I'm going to give you more than enough. I'm going to give you enough to meet your needs, and I'm going to give you enough so that you can go be a blessing to someone else. I thought there was more amens out here than that. And this same Peter, we may get there, this same Peter says, God has blessed us so that we can do what? Be a blessing. Amen. We sang that song, God is blessing me right now, right now. He's blessing me right now. But you keep on saying that, hallelujah, speaking those words of faith, because that's exact, listen to me, and I'm getting ready to close. Come on, guys. That's exactly what he wants to do. Bless you right now, right now, right now. When tomorrow, Monday get here, it will be your right now. God wants to bless you then. When Tuesday get here, it's going to be your right now. God wants to bless you then. So that he can bless somebody else through you. Hallelujah. I didn't get very far. God is good. And I think that's what many people are missing, even the sinners. I've talked to people, and they've come back at me, well, if God is so good, you know, why are there starving children in Africa or some other part of the world? Why this? Why that? Why the other? Why? If God is so good, or if God is real, why is this happening? Why is that happening? It's because of the world we live in. What they don't understand is Satan himself have become the God, little g. Everybody say little g. The God of this world system. You hear me? Adam gave it to him. He told Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 4 when he tempted him and said, all this I'll give you. Hear me now. We won't go there for the sake of time. But he said, all this, he tempted Jesus. He said, all of this, look at the kingdoms of the earth. He said, of the world. He said, all of this I will give you, Jesus. But one thing you got to do for me, you got to bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't do it. Oh, and here's what he said. He said, I give them to you because they have, and this is in the book of Luke chapter 4. He said, I give it to you because it has been delivered to me. Read it. It has been delivered to me. He's a liar. He was just telling a lie. Yes, he is a liar, and he's the father of lies. But it's been delivered to him. How did he get it? Adam gave it to him. God gave Adam the keys. Adam gave them to the devil. And now the Apostle Paul says he's the God of this world system. He's not my God. He's not your God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus is my Lord. How about you?
Amen.
Glory to God. But because he's the God of this world system, that's the reason people are in misery. And God has called you and me. I know I got to quit. God's called you and me to go forth and change some things by the power of the gospel through prayer. See, you don't understand the authority that God's given us. Some things not going to change if we, his people that are the inhabitants of the earth, don't ask him. Ask me, he said. I mean, that's just the way it's set up, folks. Ask. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preserver. Light dispels darkness. That's who we are in this earth. Y'all still with me? That's who we are in this earth. And God works through us. So that's the reason God's called us to feed the hungry. That's the reason God's called us to preach the gospel. But he get blamed many times for what the devil is doing and what the devil has caused. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen?
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love.